on library board. This meeting is now set. Shelby, would you like to give us a welcome?
That's my favorite. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you to the Hunter Branch for hosting us. We love having these meetings at different locations so you can get a feel for our whole system. And I'm excited to hear about Hunter and the population we serve and the neat programs we have here specifically. I would also like to thank Lenora Manji, who's over here, and she is acting in with our HR and administrative team, and she's helping out today. And of course, Melissa, for as ever pulling us together and making sure that everyone has the information we need and that we have lunch, which is so lovely. And of course, to the whole library team, which takes a village, as the case may be, to get ready and make sure that we're giving you the information that you need today. So, thank you for joining us. Presenters. Hey, colleagues. The situation is there's some treacherous cord management happening at the front of the room, so please go flat side for your safety as you are presenting. I almost forgot that, even though the reminder came about 45 seconds ago.
A lot to remember.
I think we're good. Thank you.
So the first action item is to approve the minutes from the December 8, 2025 board meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion
from Bill. Do we have a second?
Second.
From Anastasia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Not hearing none. Motion passed. Next order of business is to address public comments. Is there any member of the public here today that would like to provide a comment? Moving on then, do we have any correspondence to share?
Do you have anybody online?
I don't think so.
You've already assessed that, sorry. Great. Yes, we have some correspondence. We have a few. We have great Navy as public comments.
No, you're not. You have something you want to speak about? Steve M. Marin, Redford the Draper. Long time interested in the board. I was looking over the old bylaws that are posted on the website. I saw the board was required to participate in acquisition of land and hiring a new director and review the financials. I thought they had to contribute to the budget as well, post budget. So I know it didn't happen last fall. So just for observation, I'm anxious to see what the one you're talking about today looks like.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. For the feedback. Me, still. Okay, got it.
Sorry,
We love public comment, however we receive it. We have our QR codes in each of our branches that have an opportunity for people to share their feedback, and they do. We have one person in Taylorsville. You've heard me mention this before. This is a super fan and remains a super fan of Taylorsville. So we have received several comments, including some happy holidays cheers and one that I will share that just says, I think this is the only way I can let you guys know. I appreciate you helping me out. I felt like I might be a little bit of a pain today, but wasn't trying to be. Thank you for your help. So we love providing help to our patrons and certainly appreciate a kind note afterwards, but it's not necessary. We did receive a few other comments. One patron is disappointed in one of our restrooms. Granite only has the air dryer, not paper towels, which fair. And One of our staff members, Bless Jordan Branch, is very helpful in finding a book for my son. And somebody else was really helpful printing with a printing technology issue. And I love to share those with you because even though they're like just little moments, but our goal is to make sure that our patrons have like a great experience however they interact with us. And our vision that we developed as we were working on our strategic plan this last year is every visit matters. And so these little notes are important feedback for us. We have a couple of additional notes. I want to thank you so much for your wonderful county libraries. I used 7 of them this year. Your makerspace at Daybreak is incredible. Thank you for your wonderful service and great, friendly, helpful librarians. You folks are doing an amazing job. Happy holidays to all of you. So just Happy New Year. This came in after our last board meeting. And then I love the library system way back to the bookmobile days. So we do too. We do too. And that is what I have for the meeting.
Thank you so much.
My name is Dakota Still. And Sandy and then Draper. There are no paper towels in the general room restrooms. I finally found some in the family restroom. But you guys are just deserving paper because you wanted the higher quality stuff for the books. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Hope we are talking point moving forward.
Yeah. All right. So the next item on the agenda is the introduction of the Hunter Branch by Azra Pistin.
Azra, before you get started, I just received a message that says the online meeting is maybe not started, but other people are on, so we're okay. Maybe she's on the wrong link.
Yeah,
okay. I can tell her to try a new link. We've got people there. Okay, I've seen other folks on there, so disregard, so sorry. And we'll see you again.
Awesome.
Good. Step number 2. Well, good morning, and welcome to Hunter Branch Library. Thank you for holding your meeting today. Some of you may not be familiar with me or my background, so I would like to take a minute just to briefly introduce myself first. As I already mentioned, my name is Azra Bašić. I am originally from Bosnia, Kansas accent, but I have been resident of Utah for the past 17 years. I have worked in the libraries for the almost 15 years now, 10 years serving at the city library, and after that I made the transition and I moved to the county library. So I am a brand new manager, and I have to say these past 2 years here at Hunter have been nothing short of humbling experience. I think I have learned a lot about humanity and patience, and I'm not referring just to our residents, but also to my staff. However, very professionally rewarding, and I'm honored to be a manager at the county library. That said, I want to tell you a little bit more about our branch and my staff here. We have 15 people on my staff, including our custodian. And currently, we have 3 members of the Taylorsville branch staff helping us here at Hunter. We welcome hundreds of people every day. In fact, last year we have welcomed about 10,000 people, average 10,000 people a month here at Hunter Branch. We answer dozens of questions that really have vary wildly. On any given day, we might be asked to reset a password for somebody's email. We'll have a mom asking to find a realistic fiction book for her third grader. We can have a toddler coming asking for a directional question about our scavenger hunt that we put out weekly, or we can have more technology-driven questions such as, can you please resize this flyer for me and then print 100 copies? So I think it's safe to say that our patrons are keeping us on our toes, which we like. We are here to help them out with all kinds of questions. In the 2 years that I have been here, I don't think I've ever opened the library in the morning without having several people waiting in front of our doors. That said, this library truly comes to life after 3 p.m. This is the time where we have all hands on deck. Kids arrive straight from school. We serve kids cafe lunch every single day for our young residents. And then we also have adults coming from work, trying to do all kinds of paperwork at our library, as well as families coming in to kind of like prepare for the evening hours. Students come in to also do schoolwork and use our free Wi-Fi. So truly we have a variety of things happening on a daily basis here at the branch. I'm someone who really values hearing out from our patrons, and I promise I had no idea that Joey will be sharing reviews from our patrons today. So I wanted to read a few reviews from our patrons that have been said about us in the past couple of months. So it's not just me who are telling you how great we are. So one of the patrons said, Hunter Library is a great library with lots of room and a large selection of books. The staff are friendly and helpful. Another one praises their practical experience, saying, I was kindly greeted and directed to where the fax machine was, and a friendly atmosphere for sure. We also hear appreciation for the range of services we offer. One review notes, great library with computers, printers, copy and scan, along with lots of books and DVDs. Not all feedback is great, and that less positive feedback is important for us as well, and we also like to hear that. One review noted, if you are looking for a quiet place, this is not it. We are also often referred as a cyber cafeteria, which we kind of turn into when kids come here from school. And I'll have to admit, comments like this make me pause every once in a while, but I've come to see them as honest reflection of how the space is used. We are one of the branches that leads in computer usage. We also lead in number of print jobs that we release every single day, and we also are one of the top branches when it comes to wireless sessions that our patrons are using. During after-school hours, you will see kids coming to the library not just to play on the computers, although they do love their Minecraft and Roblox, but they also use our service desk to check out a soccer ball or use a 3D pen and engage a little bit more, let's say, stimulating, educationally stimulating activities. So no, this is not a quiet place in traditional sense, but it is a focused place. People come here with a purpose. They come here to learn, to work, and connect, and our staff is here to facilitate whatever they come here to do, and we are happy to do so. I'm also pleased to share that we are moving forward with two significant projects this year. We will be installing new carpet throughout the building, and we will be adding an outdoor canopy that will allow us to use better this wonderful space just outside of this room. I want to thank all of you for being here today and for visiting our branch. I hope all of you will stick around for a tour after the meeting, and I'd be happy to answer any other questions. Again, thank you.
Before you go, Azra, one, thank you. We're really excited about the canopy out here. The space is great, and it gets very hot. So a little shade is going to really expand, I think, that
yes,
what we can do here.
We have many ideas for how we would like to use the space after that install. So
that's great.
Yeah,
just one other quick thing that I didn't ask you before I shared this with Gerber, would love to. So here we go. Azra, this coming year, has been elected the Utah Library Association president. So,
thank you.
It's a great leadership opportunity for OSRA and for our system throughout the state. So congratulations, and we're excited to have you.
Thank you.
Playing that important role as well.
Yeah, I'm very privileged to be nominated and then elected in that role. So fingers crossed. I do good. Thank you all.
So the next action item on the agenda is chair nominations.
Which is not my name, but really, I think this is a you guys thing.
Yeah.
Support, your support.
So I've been the chair for 2 years now, I think, and fine to continue holding the gavel, and also fine passing it off to anybody else, if anybody else would like to take it. So with that said, feel free to nominate yourself or others. Maybe somebody who's not here.
Jessica is online.
This is not a nomination, but I think you've done a phenomenal job, and we'd be lucky to have you. I mean, House of Tennessee's done a great job as vice. And if you wanted to do it, that would probably make sense as well.
Yeah, I'm happy to do care. I feel like 2 years is a lot to ask of somebody to be here every meeting and do all of the motions, and so I'm happy to do that. I also don't want you to talk yourself out of it if we want to continue, but I think it's a lot to ask to continue for a third year.
Okay.
Pilsner says that there's a standard succession plan for the chair, and
Not really.
We typically have gone chair, vice chair, and then like kind of cycled, right? Because it was Bill, and then it was Holly, and then but like that's kind of how we've done it. But there, I don't know that it's standard.
Billy, you've been here the longest, right? What's the
you have the special confession. It's one of those things where I think it's just. Is willing to step up, and if so, that supports.
Yeah, do you want to be chair?
Yeah, I'm happy to do it.
Well, I'm happy to nominate you, but you're not an official nomination.
See, happy to second.
All in favor of Anastasia serving as the chair?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none passes. Congratulations.
I guess the question is vice chair. Yep. Yeah, vice chair.
Thoughts on
who
would
you
like to
nominate to
serve vice chair?
Are you interested in doing that, Steve? I mean, I'm not seeking nor opposing. I probably could, but I have plenty of volunteer opportunities. So
yes.
Yeah. Jessica supports Steve, so we have a formal nomination for Steve to serve as vice chair.
I'll formally nominate.
Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor for Steve to serve as vice chair?
Aye.
Yay.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Passed. Congratulations to Steve as well. Thank you very much. The next action item is to talk about the write-off process.
Great job, Booth.
All right, we talked about this at the last meeting. I know it's been a while, so I'll give a brief overview again, and hopefully answer any questions you guys have. So the library needs to approve a write-off policy. The county-wide has a policy, but in that policy it states each agency has to adopt their own policy. And so this is going to be our policy. We've been collecting these debts, tracking these debts for about 30 years now, and it's time we wipe them off our books. And so it's essentially, if the debt is over 3 years old, we're going to wipe it off, close the patron's account, let's start over. And then there's a bunch of other criteria as well. If the debt gets to $300, we're required to send that over to the DA's office. At that point, we must write it off at that point as well. And then there's some other things like bankruptcy and a couple other things if somebody passes away. But that's kind of the general overview. And since we talked about it kind of in depth last meeting, I'll just answer any questions you have.
Will this affect our budget, Brad?
No, it will not. So while we've been tracking this, we do only budget our revenues for what we anticipate to have. And so this is not going to have any impact on that. And we're tracking these on kind of our own internal ledger. It's not a ledger attached to our financial statements. So it's not going to affect our financial statements in any way either.
Patrons reach out to you, do they, like, know they have an account back on?
So we have a whole process that we go through, but some of this data is up to 30 years old.
Oh.
And we have in contact with a lot of those people. I mean, who knows if we have even relevant.
Okay, but it's 30, it's not like people last year. Okay.
Yeah, the more recent debt, we go through a process. If the debt reaches, I think it's $50, we send it to our collection agency, and then we go through that process.
Okay, and, that's,
yeah.
And then they reach out.
Okay.
And it's a library-specific collection agency.
I figured.
A little bit gentler than some other collection agency.
And that was my question. Is it, once it gets that far, is it on their credit report while the collection agency has it or anything like that?
Like, I feel pretty sure the answer is no. Okay, somebody who can say that with more confidence than us.
I think it's no for the lower dollar amounts, but if it hits that $300,
then it goes to the DSA.
Then it's treated pretty more conventionally.
That's my understanding as well.
Okay, thank you.
My other question is what's the cadence of us sending things that are $300 over? Is it like monthly, yearly?
It's once it hits that. And so I don't think we have like a regular cadence. It's just as soon as we.
Hopefully there's not too many of those.
No.
Yeah, how does someone hit $300 or, like, peak checking out more books and, like, just not returning?
Yeah, they have a whole stack of books they take home, or sometimes we do check out things like computers or in the library of films that have a higher dollar amount of tax credits as well.
Yeah. We've attached the call to this time. We're pleased to report.
So I think we'll take a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the policy report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any passed?
Thank you,
Brett. All right. Passing the palm back to Joey to talk about the bylaws.
Oh, okay. I'll give you a little bit of background, and Melissa is actually our expert here on this piece of it. A few years ago, the board had a committee that put together our bylaws, and we love them and thank you. But we are doing a recertification process at the State Library this year, and it is not something we have historically had to do because only the smaller libraries have, but the State Library has changed their process. We're happy to be a part of this process, and I think it might help us get a designation of them. Officially sanctioned quality library, which we feel that we are. So I don't want to get ahead of things. We'll make sure that the state has the opportunity to go through their process. But as a part of this, it's a renewal process, even though we're going through it for the first time. As a part of this renewal process, we need to keep our bylaws. So Melissa is our renewal coordinator. And so she can speak to the specifics of the bylaw change. And then we just want to chat a little bit. As you're pulling that information up, there's kind of a couple of ways we could potentially move forward is we could pull together a subcommittee of the board to address it. I think the changes are pretty technical. And so we could also, library staff could draft it for you, and you could review it that way. So we certainly have a room full of qualified policy and bylaw crafters. If you would like to, we want to do what makes sense for you. If it feels like in the space you want to manage it, then we support that. If it's something we can provide help with, then we want to support that as well.
All right, so Nora pulled this up for us. So it says, let me pull this part up. She does not have access to this. But there is a section in the recertification that says that we need to send a current copy of the library board the library board bylaws that mention adherence to code 52-4-201, which specifically mentions electronic meetings. In section, the public comment section in section 6, we do mention 52-4-301, which is for public comments, but we don't specifically mention 201 for the electronic meetings. So I had Lenora pull this card up because I feel like it fits best in this board meeting section, where we can just put in a little section header right there that says We have electronic meetings. They're also in person, of course, because we have to do that for the public notice website laws. But we just want to make sure we get that portion of the section in there in the bylaws so we can be in compliance with the recertification. And I can send out a better worded email afterwards that explains that over again. But again, we need to know if you guys want us to help draft that. I am by no means a lawyer, so I will not get it as nicely as all these bylaws have been set up by the committee before. But we're happy to do that, or we could have that small committee and maybe talk about some of the things that Steve brought up at the beginning of the meeting as well, that he noticed in the bylaws that we're missing in the bylaws. Need a reminder of that.
The financials.
Yeah,
he wanted to know whether or not we need to contribute to the budget.
We generally provide the budget. Regular budget reports to this group before we submit them to the to our policymakers.
We have been talking a little bit internally if we wanted to adjust that a little bit, but we certainly have felt like we were following the bylaws, as it were, to make sure that you're aware of those budget requests. Before we do our capital projects, we share with you a list of the capital projects, and we share with you our requests to the mayor's office for our new budget items there. And so that's, we can certainly talk about it. We understood that we were in compliance.
The electronic meeting section of the code is 207.
Oh.
52.4.207. And that's just the information they gave me that said it's 201, but it could potentially have changed. I'm not sure if they've had that in their laws for the smaller ones, but we can make sure we get the right code in there. That's a good reminder.
And I guess if they want the specific, I guess I view it as redundant, but if they want the specific section reference, we can, because we say that we will hold meetings in accordance with County Ordinance Chapter 2.21.030, and that says that meeting shall comply with all requirements of state law, including but not limited to the Utah Open and Public Meetings Act. So, by virtue of referencing the county ordinance, which itself references the Open Meetings Act, we're bound to comply with the Open Meetings Act. But if they feel like we need the specific section reference in there, we can do so.
I feel like on that coming, the staff can just communicate with the.
If you want me to take a run at just dropping in a sentence saying that that electronic meetings will be held in compliance with applicable section reference.
I'll just get your way. I still want to make work for you. Perfect. We just didn't want to go redrafting bylaws without your.
I know. I asked Spencer if he was tired of looking at that.
We will certainly bring this back for review with you.
So. All right. So the next action item is the conflict of interest.
Yes, and you have received these ones via email, and some of you have returned them to us. And thank you. And we'd love to make sure that as we are receiving them, they are filled out correctly, which is sometimes a little tricky. Based on, in my experience, we've just seen enough folks who have some questions. So we have it here for you. We are required to collect it for every one of our board members. And so you can just fill it out right now and give it to Melissa. Melissa, are there any specific instructions that you would like to share with us so that we have everything we need before we submit this to the mayor's office?
So I talked to a few of you and already got a couple of them back, so thank you for doing that. So I know these are just so fun and so tricky. So I kind of highlighted the big sections we need. So, of course, this part up here, we need your name. It's kind of hidden by all the information we've added that you don't have to fill out. Section B, you're going to put, if you're working a current job, you have to put that in there. If you're working a second job or have a side hustle, we need a separate form for that. If you are volunteering anywhere besides here, we need one for that too. So I have extra forms if you need them, but we do need one for each potential conflict. Then you'll put that, like, example, you're an employee or you volunteer at this location, for whatever you put in Section B. You're going to put that in the line right below it.
put their address and phone number if available. Section C, there's all those little options you can click right there. If you do the very bottom option, none of these categories apply. You don't have to do Section B. But if you do click something else right there, would you please put a little note in Section B that says, I am maybe an officer, directorate agent. You could put a note in there saying, I'm an officer for whatever something, but this potentially could be, might not be a conflict, or this could be a conflict if you work with this company. Whatever you guys want to put right there, I don't know what you guys are doing, so I trust your opinions. And then make sure you sign up. We had a couple returned that were not signed at the very bottom, which is half the fun of the document is a signature. So that's just, I know it's tricky, but if you guys can get that back to us, they're requesting those back today. So if you could just fill them out before you leave and then get it back to us, that would be fantastic. I appreciate it.
Is there anybody who wasn't here that we need to...
Tachi is the only one not here, and she did mention that when she said she wasn't going to be here. I know Jessica's online, so if she could just make sure she emails it to me, that would be great. Yeah.
Most of the time, it's none of the above categories in play. But if you are, you know, especially in this role, but it could be.
Yes.
No. We're right. But it's nice to have it on record. In my personal experience, I've been glad to have this score before. Even though there's not like a conflict, if you're working in an area that suddenly gets some like media attention or something like that, having this form as a backup and having made that disclosure is helpful. So thank you. Don't forget to do it before you leave.
Right. Next item on the agenda is the construction budget review.
Hey, yeah, you guys, we have been on a journey getting ready for our new sort of batch of construction. By way of a little bit of background, in 2022, the library asked for a tax increase, which was passed by the county council. And at that time, that tax increase was largely to pay off debt for previous construction, but also laid out on a long-range plan, which identified several buildings for future construction. And we're working on them now. Here in 2026, because it takes a while to do some things like buy land and get things coordinated with our partners. And so we're going to talk about four projects today. We'll give you an update on our Library Operations Center. Things are going great, so thank you for your support in the purchase of that building. We'll talk a little bit about other major projects. We're looking at a new West Valley project, a new West Valley Library and new Midvale Library. And then we've got some work at our Sandy Branch that we want to talk to you about. And so Brad is going to pop up and give you a little bit of information about that. How we're going to be paying for it, what some key time frames are for that, and make sure that you're aware. We will be moving toward presenting to council in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, to formalize a request to that.
All right. Thanks, Joey. Yeah, so a lot of exciting things are happening. Building some buildings, doing some models, and we have a funding plan that we hope is going to work out. To pay for it. We have two kind of major tracks depending on. We have one project in the Midvale project that is going to be funded primarily through a new market tax credit. And that is similar to the current structure. I don't know how many people was around back then, but it's basically we go with a partnership with some outside agencies to get them some new market tax credits to invest into the project. And we'll net save about $3 million by going through that path. It's a lot more complicated. There's a lot of legal work. There's a lot more involvement of financing, but it does have a huge benefit. And so it's worth going through that all effort. And so that project, that's going to be about a $28 million project. We're going to move forward sometime this year. And through that process, we're going to be starting that. We've already started that work with a consultant, so hopefully get that rolling. The rest of the projects we're going to bundle into a bond. And so we're going to be doing a lease revenue bond through the building authority. And so within that bond, we're going to be having the West Valley project, which is going to be about a $30 million project. We have a partnership there. And then we're going to be also be doing a remodel for Sandy, which is going to be coming up as well. That's going to be about $4 million project. That's going to replace the roof, the HVAC, and some remodeling for that project as well. And so hopefully that'll save a lot of problems that we've been having at that location. And in addition to that, we also have our office building, which is coming along nicely. We're right in the middle of the design project. We've got our updated construction numbers all together with the purchase of the building and our modeling of that. That's going to be slightly, that's going to be about 15.9 pounds. So we're going to wrap up but into the bonds. In addition to that, we do have a payment for another to unwind the currents that we're going to roll up into the bond as well. There's some payment involved in that. And so with all of that stuff, it's going to be about a $59 million bond, $60 million bond, depending on where that lands, with all the final costs that are associated with that. And that'll be a 20-year bond for that payoff. And we do have, in the long range of time, we are anticipating, we've got a couple of different options there. One of the things that we'd like to do is we'd like to go through an annual inflationary tax increase, just a smaller amounts every year. We'll have to work with the council on that, we'll work with the mayor's office on that. That is kind of our ideal, how we're going to help pay for things. If we can get that going, that's no problem. We'll be able to wrap up everything in one there. If not, we do have plans in place to do some of those larger, more frequent tax increases. But I know what everybody went through this year with the calendar, and just we'll have to work with them on what they want us to do in the direction on the good side. But we do have enough flexibility within our long-range plans to be able to afford the debt service, as well as these new buildings do have increased operational costs because they are bigger buildings. So they do need a couple of additional personnel in there, and as well as the collection size does change as well, just the general utilities and other kind of operating costs. So we've been looking at all of that. We've built that all into our plans, and we are ready to move forward. We are confident that we will be able to accommodate all of these exciting things that come.
If I could add a couple of quick notes. The first one is, and we've talked about this in here a little bit, but I will reiterate, the library is a separate fund or a separate line on your property tax statement. And so the countywide general fund tax increase that just passed at the end of 2025 will not affect us. So we're separate from that. And the second thing is thinking about those taxing timelines. That was one of the pieces as we were discussing these projects in 2022. Is sort of what does that look like if we do a larger, less frequent tax bump? What would the time frames for that be? And so these plans honor the sort of timeline and framework that we laid out in 2022 when the tax increase was approved. So we can't go, wiggling that around without the consent of our policymakers. So as we're moving forward with these projects, making sure that we adhere to those commitments is an important piece for us. So thanks to Brad, because he's revamped our long-range plan, and it is dazzling, as dazzling as a long-range plan can be, to help us plan for I actually think it's really neat. And so to make sure that the decisions that we're making now, including staffing decisions, construction decisions, technology decisions, will help us plan and plan out 10 years, 20 years. Like, we really map it quite a ways into the distance to ensure that we're being good stewards of the resources.
One of our coming meetings, we'll dive into the large plan and go into all of the details and all the assumptions, because there is a lot of assumptions that you can answer. We just want to make sure that everybody here is all aware of what we have.
When you said you have a partnership for West Valley, what does that mean?
I was about to talk to you about that.
Okay.
In a bit. Okay. I just want to talk to our policymakers before we talk about it in a
open meeting. Is there a process for, I know this is just a budget, but it's my understanding there's a process for building a new library. Are we allowed to talk about that process publicly, like what comes after? Like, it's my understanding there's usually an RFP process, so I just don't understand. I'm just trying to get a way out on what that's saying.
Yeah, you want to take a crack on it?
There's a lot of different pieces involved.
Yeah.
So we have started drafting an RFP, assuming that we do get permissions. Kind of some of the next steps are presentations to the council, getting the council's approval. And we also are presenting the debt review this Wednesday for the debt.
Yeah.
Debt review has to review all of the debt and the council, all that funding. So that's kind of all of the next steps within the month. We hopefully will start all of those processes and get those approvals. Once those approvals are set, or approved, then we'll have the RFP ready to go. Because one of the things as well is with the bonding timelines, we do have a very tight timeline to do the construction in order to meet the sundown requirements, which is why we started to work on the RFP. So as soon as we get that okay to proceed, we can let that RFP go in order to meet those timelines.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a really, well-mapped, procurement process for that, and work closely with contracts and procurement to make sure that the bidding process is transparent and fair and well-documented. Thank you.
And, within the long-range plan, having contingencies in place are important, especially just looking at the economic outlook worldwide, the different changes in inflation, things like that. What sort of contingency plans do we have in place for, especially when it comes to construction costs and the cost of building materials and things like that?
Yeah.
Is there some flexibility in there?
We do try and include a lot of escalation costs as best as we can. We get those escalation factors from a number of different sources. We have our own internal experts as well, and then we also rely on county facilities and their experts. And then we also have a third-party construction bidding company, construction estimating company that we also rely on as well. So we take all those three groups and then we get together as a group between us, between facilities, between county facilities, and we come up on numbers that we can agree on inflationary escalations for when we're planning on doing this, and we hopefully for as best as we can to do that. And then we always leave a little bit of room in there. We don't like to get our fund balance too low just because we do know things happen. And so we like to build in a bit of our fund balance cushion for those investments. And then, our operations on our personnel increases, we rely on a lot of historical factors for those as well. Those are a lot more steady because as you start aggregating it out bigger, they do tend to steady out. The construction ones to get kind of specific depending on exactly what you're looking at. But yeah, hopefully we do our best and we do rely on experts for this.
We do a lot of work to value engineer and then go over the process to figure out where the priorities are if we need to. And would look at not in this context, but sometimes we have to look at our projects. All of our projects, that even not just ones that are tied to new construction, to figure out if we can borrow from some of our other capital projects to support places. We do our best planning and then adjust as needed moving throughout our construction project.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. It's a great question.
Yeah. I need to hear anything about Lidmore.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about Whitmore if the board doesn't have any objections. Okay. So it was in the batch of projects that was approved with the 2022 tax increase and is still 100% on the list. But we cannot do Whitmore. We can't do anything to Whitmore that's in Cottonwood Heights, until we move our collection and resource services and community engagement team into the new operations building. And since three construction projects at a time, four is enough. We'll get our office building going, and then as we're able to, we'll get our staff moved in there, and then we'll start working on the Whitmore project. So
that's
it's next.
Good answer. Thank you. I know it's going to be staff, but
yeah,
it should be done for yourself.
Is the operations building the West Jordan?
No.
So the operations building is a warehouse that we purchased in March.
Okay,
gotcha. In Midvale, and history lesson, library history lesson. In the 2022 project, we actually envisioned building the operations center, the collection and resource services home, attached to one of our new branches. And our hope was to do it in Midvale because it's so centrally located in the valley. But when it came time to find land in Midvale, which is quite built out. We couldn't find a space that was suitable for a library, and kind of some of the traffic, it's not a ton, but it's enough that we would have needed more acreage and a little bit different sort of traffic pattern options that we just couldn't find. We couldn't even find it for way too much money. We did look at some sites where it's worth it in price. And so it has worked out wonderfully that the city has invited us to move to the park. That's going to be such an amazing spot for the library and such a good synergy with that sort of campus there. Then we decided then to look for an existing building, and that was at the recommendation of the mayor's office, Aaron Litvak, and Rob Michelle, who were like on the hunt, our county resources, I mean, our county real estate team helped us. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be separated from a library, which is a little bit of a loss, actually, but the space is incredible. We were able to get so much more square footage for the money than if it had been a new build, which would have been over $20 million. Yeah. So we think the trade-offs are worth it, and we're really excited about getting the new space for our staff and for Whitmore.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That's fine. Do we have an update on estimate of when we think the office building will be ready to move in?
Oh, yeah. What?
End of 27.
Okay.
End of 27. So, yeah, because we're coming to council with a budget adjustment for that project, we lost a little bit of time there before we were able to move forward with some of the design elements. And so then we'll hopefully in the next soon hit the road again on that, and we should still be within that 2027
timeframe. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Brad.
Oh. It is really exciting. It's really neat. And we're excited to be moving forward in some like very tangible ways. So thank you for saying that.
All right, the next item on the agenda is Matt with the legislative session update, which is my favorite.
Matt is unfortunately homesick today.
Oh, no.
We'll talk to you about
it. Or do we want to talk about it next meeting? Or?
I think we could probably talk about it next meeting, especially because at this point, there are kind of a couple of bills that we're watching a little bit, but that are not, none that are like library specific.
Yeah.
Session started on the 20th. There's a little over 400 bills currently numbered. Nothing that's library specific that I've seen out of session yet. So, yeah, we keep an eye on school library legislation a fair amount just because we wonder if there will be sort of ripple effects from that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at this point, I'm terribly sorry that Matt's sick, but we'll try to make sure he's feeling better.
You don't need to apologize. You need to apologize.
We'll want him here in February. So, yeah, I think we watch that. The county monitors that. You know, there's regular legislative meetings every week with some key folks around the county as well. So that we've got a team who are keeping eyes out for that. But if you see anything, by all means, please feel free to send it our way. I know that some of you are in positions where that is something that you're monitoring, and we, welcome your observations or notes. You need to find that sometimes, especially when he does that to all of us. That'd be exactly sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of changes that come in a brief period of time.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Staff reports. Joey, you're up again.
I'm stepping in water. I have a couple of things that I'd like to share with you. One of the things is the governor this year, I think I might have mentioned this in our December meeting, hosted his big budget speech at our Kearns branch. And part of the reason that he made that choice is because he is launching a literacy initiative to help kids get reading on third grade level by third grade. I said that weirdly, but the reason that's significant is because in K through 3, kids are learning to read, After that, kids need to know how to read because they are using reading to gain other knowledge in school and other areas. And so it's this really sort of key sort of spread across data moment where if you're doing well in third grade, it's a really great indicator of your continued success through school. Now, the governor's condition really focuses on support in schools for like reading aids, which is great. But as a library system, that's certainly an issue that we identified with. And so we know that the early learning space is a really unique sort of niche service that we provide because there are not other systems to be helping those kids from baby to, well, 3 and 5 learn to read. There's just not like systemic support. There's daycares and there's a lot of people doing a lot of great things. But we are an institution and we really have a lot of expertise to bring to that and to have a good reach. And so we really want to make sure that we're highlighting that in this opportunity, you know, in this environment where people are talking about literacy, it's a chance for us as a library to highlight the ways that we can help with that initiative. And related to that, we have just hired a new early learning manager, Tammy. You want to stand up and introduce yourself?
I need to go find the flag.
Find me so they can see you on the camera.
Okay.
The good remembering. Thank you.
So, hi, my name is Tammy Austin, and I've worked in our early learning department for about 7 years now. And I just applied for the program manager job and was able to get that job. So I'm really excited, and what Joey was talking about with early literacy, that's like our whole excitement thing. So we know that we want kids to be reading by grade level, by third grade, right? But it doesn't start in third grade. It doesn't start in kindergarten. It starts at birth. So I think libraries are positioned really well to help with all that early literacy, all that reading, singing, talking, playing, with in libraries and with their caregivers, will get them ready to read by the time they're 5. So that's my job. It's fantastic. I love it.
Tammy's been great with our system, and we're so excited to have her in this new role. And right out the gate, she was actually asked to be a panelist at the Governor's Literacy Symposium a few weeks ago in Ogden. So she was there and talking a little bit. You want to give us a little bit of update on that?
So it was super fancy, and I didn't realize it was going to be quite so fancy. But it was really fun. So I was on a panel that the First Lady, Abby Cox, was the moderator for it, and then the other two panelists with me were PhD folks from the U. So lots of research and sort of the theory. And so it was a fun panel because we got to learn about theory, and then I'm like, and this is what it looks like in the library, and this is what it looks like at home. So it was really fun. I get really excited anytime we get to talk about reading and little kids. So it was a really nice day. It was a fun day.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it looks like? Give us those years, that smoothing?
Yes. Okay, so here's my spiel that I gave. So a lot of times what reading looks like for little kids is not always intuitive to us as adults. So here's what it looks like. So when your one-year-old is reading, they're probably holding a board book. They're chewing on it. They're eating it. It's upside down. That's what reading looks like, and that counts. And then when they're 2, they will sit on your lap. And they want to be in charge, right, because they're 2. So they're going to flip the pages as fast as they possibly can, and you as the grown-up get to read, like, 1 word per page. And then they're, like, done. And then they get up off of your lap and get another book. So you read for 15 minutes, but you've probably read 20 words. Doesn't matter. Counts as reading. And then when your kiddo is about 3, they want to hear the same book over and over and over. So you read whatever their favorite book is like 600 times. And probably one day you might hide books. Just one day. I'd be like, I gotta have a break for one day. And that counts. So you read your child 600 books. It just happened to be the same book. Still counts. Still meaningful. And then when they get a little bit older, maybe they spend the whole reading time just looking at the book. And maybe you talk about it a little bit, but no words were technically read. That still counts. Still reading, and it still matters. And then they're going to start learning how to read. And once they get to be like 7 or 8, they're going to read all the Magic Treehouse books. It's the same plot. And there's about 150 of them. And they will read all of them. And it's actually a very important developmental reading stage. So all of that counts. And it looks really different than maybe what we think reading looks like. But all of it's important. And they are reading. I mean, I just call it all reading. So it's good to know, right? We want our parents We want our parents to know that they're doing a good job, and all those things they are seeing are actually fantastic.
Yeah, we want to help spread the message that read, talk, sing, play, it's all part of, like, creating familiarity with language and preparing for reading, and I think that that makes it more accessible, right? When you're a new parent, I think somebody said to me about, like, I was in a work group once, if Robin's still online, she'll remember this story. Where it was like a early learning work group, and it was probably 10 years ago, because my kids are still little, and they said, you should say, like, some number, a million, 2 million words to your kid by some year before they're five. And I was like, I don't even know if I know a million words. Like, individual word is separate count to a million. But it turns out it's repeats count, and it's a beautiful. Because you can advise me that kids like 3 years old, they're like, before they're five, you have to make all of these things exactly right, or they're going to be a criminal. And it's a lot of pressure. And it's not sleepy, and it's kind of overwhelming. And so taking reading and making it accessible and fun and playful and really broadening the understanding of what counts as those critical developmental interactions is something amazing we can do that's really important. And so thank you, Tammy, for introducing yourself, for taking this position and joining this important effort.
So two things. One, if anybody ever wants to hear me recite the La Jalapeno, on my heart now. But number two is, as a board, though, how can we assist in this effort? Like, are there things that we can do to keep the focus on this and keep it going? And are there things that we can do to support the efforts just kept in mind?
I love that question. And, yeah, I think we'll be putting together some strategic communication around this, and we'll share that with you and have you be part of our message team to reach this. And because even, you know, whether you've got little kids, most of us at least know somebody with little kids or places where we can share that information. So, yeah, let us get some propaganda for you. Good propaganda, that makes it sound bad. Get some material, promotional information, and great knowledge to be shared with you. Thank you. And if you see a spot where you're like, hey, you should be in this space, and in our strategic planning, we put together our strategic plan last year. We've got these four groups who are sort of working on some of the initiatives that we've identified. And one of them is focusing on early learning and thinking about connecting with schools and school districts and maybe pre-K. This is all very, we're developing things, so subject to change. But I think figuring out how to reach out and connect with different community partners is another place that I think we would love to reach back out to you and see if that's something that you've got to help us build those bridges.
I'll admit, with a lot of the public sphere conversation commentary on the conferences lately, like, this is the area where I think we should be focusing on, because, you know, I think a lot of the stuff that we hear about libraries right now is distraction. This is the focus, and we can, like, make sure that, like, all of our media and all of our work with really focus on it is going to help us keep the message of library that's out there.
And the same note, like, we talked to a couple council members about, you know, the literacy of our third graders, and it's like, well, we have an amazing library system. So as you all are thinking about this early learning, would love to think about that. When I went to college, all freshmen are, like, given a book for the freshman class to read, and, you know, not everybody reads it, but I read it. And it was really cool because it's, like, it's something that everyone can, you know, be united about. And I think in this is good PR for us to say, this is why we are a valuable resource. This is why your tax dollars go. And Salt Lake County Library System can help with the literacy crisis. And I have a dream with another council member that, like, if we can give a book to every single child, right? Like, what would that look like if they're all kind of united in the county with one book? And I know that's money, so, you know, another conversation offline. But as you all are developing that, I would love to see if there's a way that we can partner, get the county involved so we can, you know, get a book literally every kid's hand.
We love that. And we have our Books for Baby program, and we give out 20,000,
We give her about 8,000 books a year to each new mom when they have a baby. So we have connections with all the hospitals in the valley. So, yes. In the Senate, I think it was the Senate Bill 127 that came out in 2022 where it talks about early literacy and the third graders. That's where the third grade goal was met. It didn't mention libraries specifically, but it talked a lot about community resources, and that's us. And it also talked about getting books in homes. Like, we love libraries, obviously, but also there's that other piece of that ownership of a book. Makes a big difference. So we try to do some of that.
And the understanding of what you just told us.
Yeah.
I think that the people who they get overwhelmed and think that they're not being great parents when
they are.
When they're flipping the book.
Right, but that counts, and they're doing a great job.
And it's hard for us to let go a little bit, like when kids color outside the lines. No, it's fine. This is your art. And so, like, you feel like you've got to read the whole page or read it in order or something like that, because that's how it's supposed to be. And that, like, letting the kid drive is a huge part of building that love of reading. So, yeah, we share your enthusiasm for this opportunity to be really present in this conversation, because there are different cultural conversations where folks are trying to say what a library is. And this is a really great thing for a library to be loud about being. And it is, like, early learning has been core to what we do for as long as any of us can remember. And so shouting about it a little bit is something we're actually really excited about.
May I add something?
Yes, please.
So I do believe that the library is uniquely positioned to help out with the issue that we are facing and that we are seeing here in the library. When we have tours of kids coming in to sign up for cards or to get familiar with the library, I am often surprised how many second or third graders or even higher grades are not able to spell their name that said, I think the library can fill in the gap, especially in the summer when the school is out and kids have no place to go. And that's actually known as summer slide, when no learning is happening, but that's where they can come to participate in the activities and read the books and be a part of our programs as the library. So if we need a talking point to make ourselves relevant, I think that's definitely things that we are doing in summer, especially with our summer reading, that we really try to promote and get the folks in for that. And I'm just not sure if that's known as much as you mean.
And summer reading is a great program to help with that, you know. That's great. Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned summer reading, too. That's another place that we have a really strong presence. Thank you, Jen. They can help with that. The summer slide is real, and reading fun things helps offset that. I have more director's report.
You don't
believe it.
Yeah,
you don't. Any other questions on our early learning?
There's a chat up there. I don't know.
The reach out. Actually, the water. Yeah. Thank you. The reach out to read program. No, I don't think we are, Jessica. But thank you for the suggestion. I actually made a note of it when I saw that. That's a great, like, possible partnership or alignment. Like, now do you want to share more about it, or later we should have a conversation? Maybe later, so you don't have to type it. That's kind of weird that I put you in the spot in this way.
Oh, that's fine. I'm happy to do it either way. I can tell you if you want to hear just briefly about it now, and then happy to connect you after.
Tell us a little bit. I assume everybody's curious at this point. So what?
Yeah, so the Reach Out and Read program, I actually don't remember who started it. I think it's a national foundation, but they work really closely, particularly with pediatricians' offices, but also, you know, other primary care physician offices. And there's lots of nonprofits that donate money to purchase books for these doctor's offices. And then when the child goes for their well child check, and I think it is intended for like 0 to 5, the pediatrician will then talk to the family about reading and the value of benefit of reading to their child, and then they get to choose a book to take home with them. And so it's a really great interaction in a place where families hopefully are already going, right? Like hopefully these kids are getting their well child checks, and it's an opportunity for, a trusted source of information to encourage early reading. And so I know Intermountain participates in the program. I'm sure there are others as well. I'd be happy to dig up some more information and some context, but I know it's a really great program, and it's a way to get books out to families that maybe don't have the resources to be able to purchase them.
I love that. Yeah, thank you. Please send some information to me, or Melissa can send it to me. We have our library, a little outpost in the Salt Lake County Health Department's Redwood Clinic, and that is a place where we give away a lot of books. We've got lots of families coming in, having medical appointments and vaccines, which are hard for kids to understand. And so coming in to get a shot, but meeting with a book, makes it a lot better of a trip, and also gives us an opportunity to engage. And again, like you said, Jessica, in a place where families are already coming.
So long as they don't start correlating shots with books.
My son goes to the Intermountain for his meeting session. He gets a book every time, and he's excited about it. So when we go to the doctor, he's like, Dr. Edmonds is going to give me a book today. And then, those are his doctor books, and he reads them. So it is a really cool program. It impacts my family, and I can't imagine the positive that it has on others. So
great.
It's a cool program. That's a good call. Thanks, Jessica.
Yeah, I agree. I've got to know about it.
So great. Babies are born, doctors are on the bench, but how many babies are there? Okay, well, I'm fortified with a teeny tiny bottle of water, so I will tell you the last of the director's report. Thank you for hanging with me here. I wanted to share with you some of our highlights from last year. So we produced, it's actually as a request of the mayor's office, but if they don't request it, we should keep doing it because it's so nice to look back. I think in January, lots of us are thinking about resolutions and looking forward and what we're going to do, which is wonderful and energizing. But also, it's neat to think about what we did. So I just want to go through a few highlights. Certainly, we did lots of amazing things. And I can't wait for us to talk about our stats, which Sarah will go over. But first, big thing, our library operations building purchase. That's really important for us to be working on that new spot for our collection resources team, and getting that warehouse, gosh, has just given us better options than we thought we would be able to have in terms of how to update our workflow and processes to optimize and really position ourselves to be doing awesome things in the future. So the building's in Midvale. It's a 36,000 square foot warehouse, and we'll be sharing more information as we get some afters. I think we have some before information, and so we can't wait for the go up. The Artemis Moon Tree, I don't know if you guys remember that amazing, partnership with NASA, where our Holiday Branch was selected as a location for a little seedling that sprouted in space. And it's so neat to have, you just look at it in this tree, but you know it's been in space, and that makes it special. And so we're excited about that, and the STEM and tree-focused education opportunities for our folks in that area. And it's neat, NASA's neat. We launched Spy Camp. So that's a three-day camp for kids age 6 to 10. So we have the sort of 11-plus group that comes to our OWL camp every year. And I think we've got it set up. I hope we have it set up so that our board meeting is so that you can see it. It's just dazzling to see how our team sets up that space. And so we added a group for our 6 to 10-year-olds because they were jealous of their older siblings getting to go to OWL camp. And so now we've got Spy Camp. And I think that camp filled up in 2 days. So there is a real appetite for that service. So great job to our lifelong learning team for putting that together.
We did our strategic planning, which I talk about all the time, so I'll stop talking about it. But it's been really a great opportunity for me to connect with our staff as a new director to the system and hear what's important to them as we move forward. And then as we're rolling it out, we're incorporating some additional layers of community engagement around that and moving forward with some of the projects that we've identified. So I think it's been a good effort by our system. And I'm so grateful for the, like, forthrightness from our team. It's a lot to process sometimes, but it's like we are chock full of like really passionate employees who want to do great work. We bought land in Midvale. We talked about that earlier today, but that's something that we're certainly proud of, and that was a long process with the city, a lot of enthusiasm, but a lot of steps. So that we officially closed on December 19th, and it was a good day. And so we'll be initiating the RFP process for that in the next few months. We actually created a new collection, which is our collection management committee has been working actually for a couple of years to bring a group of books together that are like chapter books for early grade schoolers, so probably our treehouse books fall into this category. We're starting to read independently, and it is we call it the JJ collection. It's a juvenile fiction collection. It's just going to make it easier for patrons and families to find the books that are right for their kids. But it's like it's a big project to like go through all of the books that could be and then identify the ones that should be included in this new collection and then get them. There's like a stickering process that sounds more fun than it is because sticker seems fun, but it's pretty intense. That was a long project that came to fruition this year. And then finally, the Mayor's Office of Sustainability launched some like sustainability awards for projects in the county, and our Daybreak branch won the Achievement in Energy because our Daybreak branch is net zero certified, and we're the first Utah's first zero energy certified building. Produce more energy on site than we use, 102%. And so it was really exciting to have that recognition come from the mayor's office as they helped bring focus to that for the work that we're doing in the county. There were other lots of great things. Those are a few highlights I wanted to share with you, and just say quickly thank you to our incredible team. Thanks to you for your support. And to our team for the work that they're doing, because all of this is just also while we're doing the business of being a library and having people come in and, you know, print things and find books and sign up for library cards. And so thank you to our team for, like, a great year. And let's maybe hear a little bit about it from someone who is not me. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead on the agenda.
Great. Sarah, come on down. The board report has the stats for November and December, and then I also compiled the year-long stats, but I'm not going to read them all. I just want to draw your attention to a couple of things. The door count is up a little bit over last year, so it's still 2.8 million. We had 13.3 million checkouts, which I'm so excited to break 13 million. I mean, it's a big number. That's a lot of books in the hands of our community, so I'm excited for that. Our rooms books, so between meeting rooms and study rooms, 45,000 rooms were booked, which was an 8% increase over 24. So it just keeps growing and growing and growing. I was looking at some historical data from, like, 2017, and we had maybe 17,000 rooms booked. So people have just been using this resource more and more as years go by. E-materials are still about 28% of our collection is people getting things digitally. And then one piece I really want to talk about, Krista's not here, so I cannot put her on the spot, but her team for e-magazines. We have been using a product called Flipster, so we both had a separate app to download digital magazines and read those. And last year in October, her team brought magazines and moved them to Libby. So the app that most people are using to read their ebooks and listen to e-audiobooks. So Flipster last year, the entire year, we circulated 22,000 magazines on Flipster. In Libby, in October, November, and December, just those 3 months, we circulated 40,000. So our circulation has
more than doubles, actually, at this point, up 600%.
I think that's just a function of people being familiar with only the app and having the Lydia app.
Yes, and it's so much easier to read it on this different app. You don't have to have a second standalone piece and know how to use it. So, yeah, just having them available and right there and what they're already natively using, it's been a huge boom. So, excited for that. So, those are some of our statistics. And then I just wanted to let you know two upcoming events. The first one is our winter reading program. So, like our summer reading, except nice and cozy in wintertime, it is the month of February. So, you come on in and get a reading record. I would bring them today, but it's not February, so the program has not started yet. But go to your local branch and sign up. We have fine waivers if people do have fines on their account, $5, those can be waived. You read your reading goal 20 times, and then you come back in and get a free book. It is winter sports theme, because I hear there's some big winter sporting events happening pretty soon. So that is a nice little tie-in that our branches have. And then our adult night out event in February is the Ultimate Bingo Night. So it is not just plain old bingo. It is a huge, hundreds of people paying as Ultimate Bingo. So if that is your jam, please sign up. Registration will open on the 6th of February. And that is February 27th. Any questions for me? That's really the flag.
Did it. All right. Is there anything else?
Thank you for sharing that for the past 2 years. It's been really important.
Yes,
for sure. It was great to have you there. We're excited to.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's a lot to ask for somebody to do it for 2 years, so thank you so much.
Great.
And to rewrite the bylaws while you do it.
Not even rewrite, I'm creative.
Yeah.
Do
you have a little information on the legislative session? Been attending the ULA Legislative Advocacy, and February 5th, which I think is next Thursday, is Cultural Day on the Hill, so representing Library and Performing Arts Museum, all of that. And then February 13th is the read-in, so come and bring your books. And then one bill is HB 197, which is around school libraries, all the school materials amendments. It's basically around, I think it's like AI monitoring of databases. So, and then there's HB 151, which is basically allowing AP students access to certain books that they can provide access to while they're in school.
Banned books.
Yeah.
But only AP students.
But maybe because it would show up on his exam?
I mean, I just our college level material is my understanding.
Okay.
All right. thank you very much. Anything else? Right, hearing none, do we have a motion to close the meeting?
A motion.
Motion from Bill. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So, we're done. All right. We're closed. Thank you.
Yeah.
I get two more.